friends, it's like a dance. Somebody's got to take the lead. So he takes the lead and she follows. And if he does his job right, everybody's looking at her, showing off how beautiful she is. And he fades into the background. That's the calling of Christian marriage. It is the imitation of Christ through love and submission.
Welcome to Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and today we're talking about the dance of love in marriage. What a great illustration. Give us more.
Well, you know, in a dance, you've got someone that takes the lead and someone who's following along. And so if you think about Christian marriage is meant to be this dance of each party trying to outdo the other in love and care and service and sacrifice to show Christ to the other. And so what's happening in Christian marriage is we're showcasing the kind of selfless love that is the way that Christ has loved us, the very love of heaven itself. We're living it out in this ecosystem of marriage. And we're showing Christ's love to each other, our spouse, our kids are watching Christ's love enacted. Our neighbors and relatives and friends are watching the kind of covenantal love as it's playing out in life. It's displaying it to the world. And Christ said, they will know you're my disciples by your love, right? And so this is not just for married people. This is for all Christians, singles, marries, everybody. We are to display the love of Christ to a watching world. And marriage is one of the ways that we get to do that. And that's what we're going to talk about today.
Well, let's go now to the pulpit of the Moody Church to see this dance in action. This is part two of the sermon, Sacred Marriage. Our text today is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33.
Theologians describe the interior life of God with the word perichoresis. Perichoresis, P-E-R-I-C-H-O-R-E-S-I-S. Perichoresis. It is the dance of mutual indwelling, self-giving love. Mutual indwelling, self-giving love. It's the dance. From the fullness and overflowing love of the triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit, who are eternally giving and receiving of one another into themselves, from that dance springs the wonders of all creation. And now the crown of that creation, humanity made in the image of God, male and female, in marital union, come together in loving, self-giving, and the wondrous creation of new life. And you see, from the very beginning, the unity and diversity and self-giving union of marriage was designed to reflect the unity and diversity and self-giving union of the triune God himself. The two-in-one dance of human marriage is imitating the three-in-one dance of the triune God. Now you can get all of that from Genesis 1 and 2, but Paul goes even further in Ephesians chapter 5. He says, not only is marriage patterned after the abundant love that is within God himself, it's patterned after the covenant love that Christ has for his bride, the church, that is overflowing in redemptive love toward God's people. The eternal dance of mutual indwelling, self-giving love within God has now swept us up by grace through faith in Christ as Jesus comes and loves us and gives himself up for us to reconcile us to the Father, that we might be filled with the Holy Spirit, so that Jesus' prayer in John 17:21 might be realized. As Jesus prays, Father, I pray that they all might be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us. Friends, through salvation, we have been invited into the dance. Do you see that? Like a little kid, like little kids, you ever go to a wedding and they're dancing and those little kids are out there dancing with the bride and groom on their wedding? That's the picture. We don't get to enter the marriage of God, but we're like little kids just hanging on, brought enfolded into the love and joy and rapture of this God. Paul says the union of marital self-giving love is reflective not just of the interior life of God, it is also reflective of the overflow of Christ's redeeming covenant love for his bride, the church. That's the shape of Christian marriage. The shape of Christian marriage is patterned after Christ's covenant devotion. The shape of Christian marriage is patterned after Christ's covenant devotion. Unlike modern culture, where marriage is chiefly about personal fulfillment, and unlike traditional culture, where marriage is about societal stability, Christian marriage is about God. It's about the gospel. It's not about me. It's not about we. It's about thee. Amen? That's what it's about. Paul is telling us that for Christians, the primary lens through which we understand marriage isn't societal stability, it's not personal fulfillment, although those are valid and secondary lenses you can use. The primary lens is theological. Marriage is about God, and it is about the gospel. It's about God and the gospel. Marriage is a dance inspired after the perichoretic love of our three-in-one God. Marriage is a mirror reflecting the redemptive love of Christ. Marriage is a window into the covenant devotion of Jesus himself. It's the shape of Christian marriage. And it influences the calling of Christian marriage. It influences the calling. In light of this soaring theological vision for marriage, Paul now gives husbands and wives some very particular assignments, specific callings on their lives. And it's woven all throughout this passage, but let's just start, we'll hop around a little bit, but let's start with the husbands, why don't we? In verse 25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Verse 24, just jump up a bit. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Back to verse 22, wives, submit to your husbands, your own husbands, as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Verse 28, in the same way husbands should love their wives as their own bodies, he who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Verse 33, however, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. So over and over again, Paul emphasizes the gospel calling within marriage for husbands and wives. And for husbands, you see it quite clearly, the husband's call is to lovingly lead the way in sacrificial self-giving. The husband's call is to lovingly lead the way in sacrificial self-giving. Paul says, look, I just called all of you to be imitators of God as beloved children. I told you to walk in love as Christ loved you and gave himself up for you as a fragrant offering to the Lord. I told you all to be filled with the Spirit. I told all of you to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And husbands, now I'm going to tell you where you're going to live that out. You get to begin with your wife. You get to sacrificially serve her in self-giving love, just like Jesus. You get to lay down your life in love for her. Husbands, let me talk to you just for a moment. Husbands, God has given you a role of leadership in your family, but it's not about you. It's not for your benefit. You've been given leadership so that you can serve and sacrifice for the sake of your wife. Let me tell you what being the head of your family looks like. It means you're the first to say you're sorry. It means you're the first to extend forgiveness. It means you're the first one to take responsibility. It means you're the first to go without when the money gets tight. It means you're the first one at her side when she has a need. It means you're the first one to have her back when she needs support. Husbands, you will be the first one to stand before God and answer for how you led your wife in loving, sacrificial, self-giving love. You're the head. You're just like Jesus. You're called to lay down your life for your bride. You're not called to assert your own headship and leadership. If you have to assert it, you don't deserve it. The only crown you get to wear is a crown of thorns. Wives, for wives, the calling, Paul says, is to respectfully submit and defer in self-giving love. Remember, to respectfully submit and defer in self-giving love. Paul says, look, I just called all of you to be imitators of God, to walk in love as Christ loved you and gave himself up for you. I called you all to be filled with the Spirit. I called you all to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And wives, now you get to begin to live that out with your husbands. You get to respectfully submit to him in self-giving love, just like Jesus submitted himself to his Father and submitted his own needs for yours and put you first and laid down his life in sacrificial love. You get to lay down your life for your husband. You see, the more you actually dig into these commands, these callings, the more you begin to realize how much overlap there is between them. You see that? That love is actually chock full of submission. And submission is chock full of love. They both require self-giving and sacrifice for the sake of the other. In many ways, love and submission are two sides of the same coin. Love says, you go first. Submission says, I'll go last. They're really the same basic muscle movement. Now, what does this mean? Let's bring it down to earth. Let's make it really practical. What does this look like in real life? Well, let's say it's been a rough week, and husband and wife, you both had really stressful, heavy, exhausting weeks. It's Friday night, you finally get a breath, and the wife thinks, you know, I know what would most fill my husband's tank is to cook his favorite homemade meal. That would just help him in so many ways. And the husband thinks to himself, he says, you know what my wife most needs? What would really fill her tank is a date night out at her favorite restaurant so she doesn't have to cook, right? And they've both been reading Ephesians chapter 5, okay? And so the wife goes to the husband and says, you know, honey, you have had a really hard week. I'm gonna make your favorite dinner. And the husband says, no, sweetie, you've had a hard week. I wanna take you out. And she says, no, honey, I'll make your meal. And he says, no, I'll take you out. And she says, no, I'm cooking. And he says, no, I'm taking you out. That's what Christian marriage looks like. You never decide anything, right? And we joke, but there's actually an order here in the passage, isn't there? The husband is the head of the house, which means he breaks the tie, he wins, and so they go out for dinner at her favorite restaurant. I'm serious. That's what godly leadership does. It sacrificially serves for the sake of his wife. And as he loves her in sacrificial self-giving, and she submits to his loving care, their marriage starts to look a little bit like Jesus. It's like a dance. Somebody's got to take the lead. So he takes the lead and she follows. And if he does his job right, everybody's looking at her, showing off how beautiful she is. And he fades into the background. That's the calling of Christian marriage. It is the imitation of Christ through love and submission. A Christian marriage is one in which both husband and wife every day are seeking to outdo one another in love. You go first, I'll go last. You see, they're imitators of God as beloved children, walking in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God, filled with the Spirit, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ.
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy. We're so glad you're joining us today as we explore God's design for what Pastor Philip calls the dance of marriage. Now, Pastor Philip, in this sermon, you say we're supposed to outdo one another in love. Well, if our listeners are going to be honest, everybody's going to say, I'm not doing very well with this. I'm not doing this very well. Is there hope?
Yeah. You know, I think all of us seeing the beauty of this picture, of this calling of the gospel within marriage to selflessly serve and give ourselves away, and the mutuality, it is a high, high calling. And I think if we're honest, we measure ourselves up against that, and we know we're all deficient. We've all fallen short. We're all sinners. We're all broken. And so the question is, what do you do in the brokenness of reality when you have this high calling of serving and loving and living like Christ? Remember, that's where God's going with our sanctification. He's making us like himself, but the gap is there. It's huge. So what do we do with it? And I think the best thing I can encourage our couples to do in their marriages is to be honest about where the gaps are. And as a husband, I need to regularly come to my wife and say, hey, I know I dropped the ball here. I know I didn't live up to the high calling to serve you and love you as Christ loved the church. Like, I know I'm, but I want to do better. And so, thank you for your patience. And would you help me with this? And the same thing for wives.
Wait a minute, Pastor, slow down. I need to write some of these down. go ahead.
The same thing for wives, right? To be able to be honest like that with husbands. And so I think the more open lines of communication about, we all want to be more like Jesus, we're all falling short. When we see it, we acknowledge it, we confess it, not just to God, but to one another. That's where healing is going to come. And then I think something I do with couples sometimes when they come in for counseling or whatever is I'll say, why don't you sit down and write down three things you'd like more or less of in this relationship? Both of you do that. And then we're going to share them one at a time back and forth. And so the wife gets to say, I would like more or less of this in the relationship. You know, I'd like you to do the dishes more because I feel like I'm doing it all by myself. And then the husband needs to say, okay, what I'm hearing is that you'd like me to do more of the dishes so you feel like I'm more of a collaborator in the work of the home. Did I get that right? Yeah, you got that right. And then you trade them. You go back and forth, right? And he'd say, I'd like more of this or whatever. So you trade them back and forth. And what you're doing is you're asserting, you're expressing your needs and what would be meaningful to you. And the other person is listening, which is not an easy skill. And then they're repeating back to make sure there's understanding. And then once you have the list, right? The goal is not to make sure the other person does their list of things for you. The goal is to make sure you're doing that list for them. And so, and then by executing on the plan and doing those things consciously, not perfectly, but consciously, trying to make an effort, the other person starts to see that. I asked for this and they're responding. And that's a way we can demonstrate our sacrificial love and service and care and mutuality toward each other. And that starts to build trust. That starts to build, I see that they see me. They know the needs. They're responding. I can see Christ in them in these actions. And they're not perfect, but they're trying, they're making progress, right? And then you could stop and reset and do that every month and just slowly make steps. And, you know, we talked about a dance. You don't learn to dance in one lesson. You learn the steps slowly. You have to practice them. You're going to step on each other's toes a little bit, but the goal is to eventually it becomes muscle memory and you don't have to think about it nearly as much. And then it becomes more of an art. But you got to start with something, and you got to start with one step forward, two steps back, and learning the rhythm and the dance. And you got to learn to figure this out. And so it's an art, but we learn it. And Christ, here's the thing, we're not alone in this, right? Christ is with us. God the Father is calling us to this. God the Holy Spirit is in us, giving us resources and power. And so we're not alone. This is not self-effort. This is collaborative effort with the God of the universe who is helping us with his grace to increasingly step out in obedience.
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. Now, some of our listeners may be saying, yeah, I hear all that, but I'm the only one putting anything in here. You said we're supposed to outdo each other in love. I'm outdone, and I'm not getting anything in return.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that can be really hard. Let's just say that. It can be really hard when you're the only one that's really putting in the effort in your marriage. And if that's the situation that our listeners are in today, I just want to say, I know that's so hard. And I'm so sorry for the amount of burden that is. I think it's helpful to remember that Christ loves us with a one-way love. You know, when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He came toward us in grace when we didn't deserve it, when we weren't reciprocating it. And so if we will drink deeply of his one-way love, I think it will help us continue to love the unlovely in our lives. We're called to love even our enemies. And so that means non-reciprocating spouses as well. And so I think there's a high call here, a hard calling. But the beauty of this is that Christ is ultimately, he's the faithful spouse our souls need. And so we have someone who's faithful to us, even when we're not receiving reciprocal love. And so if we drink deeply of the love we have in Christ, of all the resources he has for us, the way that he's loved us in his one-way love, it will allow us to extend one-way love in a sacrificial way. It won't ever be the beauty of what God intends, but it's a way that we can continue to love. And remember, God's ultimate goal in our life is that we become like Christ. And so even a really hard relationship is the laboratory in which Christ is birthing his character in our lives. And so one-way love on our part is looking a lot like Christ. And so it's not wasted. It's not like this is just, you know, everything's a mess. It's like even this God can redeem. Even this can be good in the purposes of God when you zoom out and see the big picture.
Wow. So I'm serving, I'm loving out of obedience to God, not because of what I can get out of it. It's not quid pro quo. My love now is a matter of choice and will and obedience.
That's right.
Our love is a response to God's incredible love for us. But when God seems silent, it's easy to lose heart. Pastor Lutzer's brand new book, Why Doesn't God Answer My Prayers, helps you rediscover God's love for you in prayer. Pastor Lutzer encourages us to live by God's promises, not by explanations. What if God answered the prayer of your heart in a way you never dreamed? And so for a limited time, we're offering Why Doesn't God Answer My Prayers for a donation of any amount. To request your copy, simply go to livinghopeoffer.com or call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's livinghopeoffer.com, 1-800-215-5001. Or you can write to us at Moody Church Media, 1635 North LaSalle Drive, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Thanks for joining us for Living Hope, where you'll always find gospel truth for the journey of a lifetime. Living Hope is a production of Moody Church Media and is sponsored by the Moody Church.